Praise be to God. I must say it is a great joy to be in the house of the Lord with you. So please turn then in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We continue on the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning we will direct our attention to verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, we're considering verse 13, although I will read 13 to 16. It reads as follows. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. May He write His eternal truth upon our hearts. In the context of the Beatitudes, that is verse 3 to verse 12, those verses we start with, blessed are, we went through that. In the context of those verses, in the context of that section, and in the flow of Jesus' sermon on the mount, it is clear that regardless of the hostile attitude that is out there against us as Christians, we are the only hope that the world has. I'm going to repeat that again. The Christian is the only hope that there is in the world. We are the only influence that can be to influence for godly purpose. We are the only influence that can influence for the glory of God. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth this morning. Next week we will look at, you are the light of the world. In other words, you are a necessary asset in this world. You are a necessary influence in the earth, which is why then a saltless Christian is not Christian at all. What am I saying by that? An uninfluential believer is not believer at all. You are a Christian whose influence should lead to prosperity of life, whose influence should lead to the prosperity of the soul. If not so, you become the greatest hindrance the world has ever seen. You become the greatest hindrance to the growth of the Christian church. Because that's not what genuine Christianity is. A Christian is the salt of the earth. Jesus uses an ordinary picture language here, something that we are used to, salt, something that is in every home. He's using this picture to lighten up our understanding of what he's about to say. To lighten up our understanding, or to show us how important we are, how needed we are, how necessary we are, and how powerful our presence here in the earth is. I'm hoping that after this sermon, we will feel good and important in this world, regardless of how minimal or small we are. We are the necessary influence. So this morning, there are two constructive or important principles and one warning that I want to bring to us this morning from these verses. Two constructive principles, which means two important principles to draw from the text, and one warning that we will draw from the text. And this has to do with the reason why we are saved and kept here in the earth. That is why we don't get saved and then immediately taken unto heaven.
We don't get saved and die. There's a reason why we get saved and remain in the earth. And it has to do with what I am about to tell you. It has to do with what Jesus is saying through His Word this morning. The first positive thing, or positive principle, or constructive principle, is that the Christian or the believer brings flavor in the earth. You think of salt. Remember, we talked about salt. A Christian brings flavor in the earth. The Christian sees in the earth with the gospel and the Spirit of Christ. So when Jesus speaks of the earth, He's speaking of the inhabitants of this earth. He's speaking of people living among us. A Christian is a direct influence, like salt thrown into food. A Christian becomes that which brings flavor. He seasons, or you season the food. I want you to look at the verse again, verse 13. Jesus is direct. Look at the verse. He says, "You are." Who is he talking to? Obvious. We have read that in verse number 1 and 2. When he drew up into the mountain, his disciples came to him. He's talking to the Christians, those who are the blessed, those who have been reading about, the poor in the spirit, the merciful, the righteous ones who hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God. He says, "You are." That is what I want you to see. Those words, "You are." So it's like having two people in front of you, and then you point to one of them, making a distinction between them. There's two people, I'm pointing to one of them. "You are." I'm making a distinction between these two people. Because that's very important, Bazalwane. Because people think that the great influence in this world comes from well-known, rich, and educated men. I want you to see here that Jesus does not assume that. The greatest influence does not come from the men and the women of society who looks important than the other people. He says, "You are the disciples, the Christian." He is the only one, the one and only in the world. So he elevates the Christian to a higher possible position in the earth. He says, no matter how despised you may be in this world, the world needs you. He speaks to this uneducated man of Galilee and Capernaum. You remember the disciples of Jesus? They are not educated. He speaks to this despised fisherman. He says, "You and you alone are the salt of the earth. To you belongs the greatest honor and dignity deserved. You are the flavor of the earth. Without you, the earth is tasteless and meaningless. Without you, the earth, without you, Oliven, without you, South Africa, is tasteless and meaningless. There is no need for life to carry on if there is no Christian in this world. Because there will be no great influence. People will continue the way they were born. They will continue to live in the same way. There will be no change. That's why there has to be believers in the world." And he says, that is what you are. The greatest influence. Regardless of how small a particle salt may be. How small it is. Regardless of the fact that it's so small. Regardless of the fact that it looks so insignificant. However, there is no other people, no other religion in the world that can make a lasting influence but you. You bring taste to a tasteless situation. You bring hope to a hopeless situation. You bring joy in the place where there is sorrow and trouble and sorrowful experiences. You bring peace where there is quarrels and division. According to Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul adds into this. He says, "You let your speech to be always gracious, seasoned with salt." The way you speak, it sounds like you are building up, you are not breaking, because you are a Christian. You are careful of your ways. You are careful of your conducts. You know that your tongue is a small member, but it boasts so much that it can break relationships. It lightens up a situation as fire will do. You know that for effect. And you tame your tongue. as you live among the unbelievers. And for that reason, you show yourself in all respect to be a good model of good works among the people that you live in. You show integrity. You show dignity. You show sound speeches that builds and not breaks. Speeches that cannot be condemned by others. No one can come to you and say, "We heard you. You said you're a Christian, but check how you are speaking." Your opponents are put to shame because they have nothing evil to say about you. That is our job, to season, to bring flavor in the earth, to sprinkle the gospel of peace in the earth, to live in accordance to the statutes and the word of God, to live in the light of Christ Jesus, our Savior. It says that's what you are. I want you to notice, it doesn't say you should be salt of the earth. He says, you are. If you are saved, a child of God, you should not be salt. You are salt. I'm speaking to people who are the blessed. From verse 3 to verse 12. I'm speaking to people who are humble. I'm speaking to people who are merciful. I'm speaking to people who are poor in the spirit. I'm speaking to people who does not mind to be persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He says to them, look around. You have the Pharisees, you have the scribes and the Sadducees claiming to influence the world, but they are influenced by the world. Their mouth is influenced by the world. They are politically influenced. They are corrupt in front of you. They have a form of godliness, but they cannot show for it. They have the greatest evil in their hearts. They have not put on Christ. They have not forsaken their wicked ways. They exchange the truth about God for a lie. They suppress the truth. They are filled with dirty thinking and dirty mindsets. And their foolish hearts are darkened. They are filled with all manners of unrighteousness. They are full of envy. They are full of murder. They are full of strife. They are full of deceit, malicious. They are gossips or gossipers. That is what they are. Jesus is making this contrast between his believers and the world. He says, you see, the leaders of the world. Remember those days, the Pharisees were the most important people in the world in terms of religious practices. He says, look at them. You are not like them. They claim to be the greatest influence there is. But actually, they are influenced by the world. They mistreat their own people. They kill each other. They're only fighting for positions. That's what they want to do, to be greater than others. It says somewhere in the Bible that they actually, when they come to church, they will sit in the front so that they can be noticed because they claim to be the influence. But you are the real influence, like salt. You go into the world, as long as you are there, there is a change that is there. Why? Because you are transformed by the Spirit of God. He says, look, just like salt, you need to be palatable. What does that mean? You need to add taste wherever you are. You need to add taste. You need to remain white. Salt is white. In other words, your influence must be from a pure heart. Because I have chosen you for that. I have kept you in this world for that. You are the chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. You proclaim the excellences of Him who has saved you. You proclaim the excellence of Him who has called you from darkness to His marvelous light. With your ways and your deeds, that's what you proclaim. You say, look at me. I belong to God. Look at me. I belong to a different world than this. Although I am walking in this world, but my citizenship is no longer in this world. I will die and I will pass on from death and I will enter into the everlasting kingdom of God. I may be poor in this world, but I have a home. So regardless of how I look, regardless of what I have, I will influence the earth. I will influence the surrounding. I will influence my home. I will influence my son. I will influence my daughter for the good of God. Jesus says you are. You are what? You are what I say you are. You are salt. You are the greatest influence in this world. So, stop valuing other people of this world. Stop lifting up the celebrities of this world. People outside the faith. Stop making them the greatest influence there's ever been. Stop elevating people on national TV as if they are the greatest influence that they should be. Stop elevating or lifting up the political heroes that are in this world. They are raised by God, but not for us to lift them up so that we claim as if they are the greatest influence. Stop elevating men and lifting up the creator than the creator. Why? They are not the influence that God has ordained. They are not. They may be famous, but they are not the greatest influence. Stop elevating those people. They are not God ordained influence, especially when we speak of a God glorifying influence. You are the influence. That is the reason why they will promote drugs and alcohol in their stories that you watch on TV. They are not the influence that should be. They are not the influence that you're supposed to be looking up to. That is why they divorce anytime when it feels good for them to divorce. Because they are not the influence that you should be looking up to. That is why their speech or their language, it doesn't matter where they are. They can speak however they want to speak in front of little children. They are not the influence that you should look up to. They are not the influence that the world should look up to. The world should look up to the Christian for the greatest influence that there is. Because the Christian is embodied. He carries the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian is the born again person. Born not of the spirit of this world, but by the spirit of God. He must shine like a light in this world. You bring taste wherever you are placed by God. It can be at work or at school. You season the world. So he looks at his disciple seated before him, listening to him, hungry to hear his word. And he says to them, the world of hypocrisy, the world of sin, the world of rejecters of God is out there. They need your influence because you have been influenced by me. Not only does the Christian brings flavor in the earth, secondly, the believer or the Christian brings spiritual stability in the earth. It brings spiritual stability in the earth. That's the second influential principle of salt. In other words, salt stabilizes. Salt preserves. It preserved meat not to be spoiled. That is salt. It preserved meat from decaying. I remember how my grandfather would do this. He would slice meat into sticks and immerse it into water with salt and then sprinkle salt in that meat which is sticks. And he will hang it there. This meat will last for a long period of time. He does that so that flies will not contaminate this meat with worms. Some of you know what is called biltong. It is done like that. Salt is put there not for taste anymore, but for preserving, for keeping, for making something to be stable. The Christian brings stability in the earth, as it was also in the times of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were no freezers in those days. So they will keep food by putting salt unto it so that it may last for a long period of time. So that meat is preserved from destruction and decay. So the idea here is that the Christian is responsible to save the world from spiritual decay and this continuous corruption that is within the heart of man. a Christian is responsible to preserve and save the world. In other words, within us, we have the redeeming presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to influence the world. We penetrate lives. Our constant presence, our life in this world, preserve the sinners from self-destruction. Our presence in this world among the ungodly drains out the corruption from their hearts and minds. I've seen it in my life as well. Especially at work, they know who I am, they know what I do. You find people talking and they're using dirty language. When you sit next to them, they stop saying those things. As if actually they were sinning against you. Not because there's glory that is shining on you, because you have shown them that you are a son or a child of God. So you're preserving them from self-destruction, from self-destroying. You're preserving them like salt that is rubbed on them. Just as salt will slowly then absorb water from meat, making the meat dry to prevent harmful mold and bacteria. Our influence in this world goes deeper than what people will look with their naked eyes. It penetrates the lives of men within where we would not even see. It absorbs the corruption that there is in the lives of people. It penetrates like the word of God, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intention of the heart. The word of God does that. And in the same way, God uses us, preserving people from self-destruction. So although salt is just a small, insignificant particle in this world, it may seem, although it may seem powerless compared to that big steak of meat on the grill, but friends, it is influential. It is cheap. Anybody can buy it. That's how cheap we may look sometimes in this world. Salt is cheap, but it is significant. So Jesus says, that's what you are. Small and insignificant in the eyes of the world. Powerless when it comes to the world's powerful laws and regulations, it may seem. But you have the ability to penetrate and change people's future. You have the ability to penetrate and change people's future. Friends, this is big. My life can change another man's destiny if I live in the light of God. And my life can destroy another man's destiny if I don't live in the light of God. That's what this is about. But you see, as for the Jews sitting there listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, salt to them meant more than flavoring and preserving. It meant more than that. Salt had to do with eternal preservation. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 30. I want to show you something. Then we will look at Numbers chapter 18 verse 19. Salt to them was more than what I'm saying. So the understanding of what Jesus was saying was even of great depth unto their lives. Exodus 30 verse 34 to 35. Listen to what the word of God says. If you don't have it, you can just listen. This is what the Bible says. The Lord said to Moses, take sweet spice, stekel, and onycha, galbanum. Sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall be there be equal parts. In other words, whatever you take, it should be the same in the scale. What must you do? Make an incense blended as by the perfumer, seasoned with salt, pure and holy. That may not make sense to you. Numbers chapter 18 verse 19. Then it will make sense to you. This is what the word of God says. All the holy contribution that the people of Israel present to the Lord, I give to you and to your sons and daughter with you as a perpetual due. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord for you and for your offspring with you. It is a covenant of salt forever. The point that I'm trying to make here, my friends, is that salt symbolized a covenant. What is a covenant in your language? Yes. Salt is a symbol of covenant. A covenant that means this is an everlasting thing that we are doing here. The covenant of salt typified an eternal covenant with God. So in other words, friends, salt speaks of a lasting effect to anything where it is put, according to the Old Testament. Here are the people bringing a sacrifice to the Lord. Sweet spice and whatever that was, the onycars and the Baal Palam, they put it together. God says that is not enough until there is salt in it. Just like it is not enough in this world unless this Christian says that's not enough. Put salt. That salt symbolizes an eternal covenant. That salt speaks of a lasting effect in what you are doing. So the Christian life here in the earth shall have a preserving effect upon the society. What does that mean? It should lead many to eternal life. If salt preserves something to last for long, we then need to preserve the world for an everlasting future with God. That is what I'm saying to you. An everlasting effect. That is me and you bringing that into this world. So we need to influence the world in a way that the world will stop to destroy itself. You need to influence the society to the point where if there was no Christian in this world, the world will collapse. If there was no Christian in this world, the world will rot like meat that has no salt wrapped on it. We need to influence the world in that way, that if we were not here, the world will rot like meat. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Just like meat, you cannot preserve it without salt, it will rot. The world cannot be preserved without me and you. It will rot. We must bring an everlasting effect in the world, wherever we are. People need to learn from us how to please and honor God, unless they will suffer spiritual decay and moral destruction. That's how important we are, regardless of how despised we may look. So church, I can tell you, one of the reasons we have corrupt leaders out there, it is because the Christian will not speak out the words of God. Because why? They are also corrupt. You cannot speak against corruption when you are corrupt. You cannot speak against sin when you are also in sin. You cannot tell your children to do right when you don't do right. You cannot correct anybody when you still need correction. The reason why there is so much chaos and disorder, there is no influence in this world that preserves the world from self-destruction. The reason why we don't have good men and good women in society is because there is no godly influence from the home. Homes are without salt. You cannot even go to a neighbor and say, "Can I have salt?" In other words, can you help me influence the society for good? You cannot tell any neighbor. They are also corrupt. Everyone is corrupt. Morally, spiritually corrupt. No influence in the home. Men are nowhere to be found. Men, I'm not talking about humanity. Men, I'm a daughter. They are nowhere to be found to teach their children right, to teach their children diligently the things of the Lord in accordance to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. They are not there to open up the word of God each and every evening and read to their children. Men are not there. Women are not there. They are not there as the women who should be wise women who build their own homes. They are not there. They are only destroying their own homes. And consequently, children are ending up on the streets be it either in your whoope, in the hand, or a miniskirt in the body, with drugs and prostitution. Why? The homes are being destroyed. There is no soul, there is no influence in the world. Christians are nowhere to be found. Men are watching TV and soccer. Women are watching soapy, I don't know what else. They can't claim to be cooking. They don't even cook these days. They go to McDonald's. Where are we? Where is the greatest influence in this world? Jesus says, you are. He's not asking where. He says, you are. It's not like me, I'm saying where. You are, friends. Without us, there is no everlasting change in this world. The Christian rubs his saltiness or her saltiness to society to preserve them from this continual spiritual sickness and death. The question is that you, my friend? Is that what you are? Because having said all this, that the believer brings flavor into the world, the believer brings spiritual stability into the world, there is also a negative, which is my third point. There is also a negative. Should the believer forsake these biblical principles, there is a negative. Thirdly, the believer brings humiliation to self. The believer brings humiliation upon himself or herself. Listen to what the word of God says. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. I think the Apostle Peter sums up this point perfectly. If you read 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 20. Write it down. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 20. Just listen to what the Apostle is saying here. Just in terms of what I was saying to you. He says, when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, then they get tangled up and enslaved by sin again. They are worse off than before. Okay, I'm not trying to expound this text, but I want to show you a few things here. When people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle is saying the only way people can escape the wickedness of this world is by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. That is clear, right? But when they escape by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, but then they get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than they were before. In other words, it would have been better for them not to be saved anyway. In the context of what I'm saying, I'm gonna put it this way. When you were not saved, when you did something wrong in the world, you brought no humiliation upon yourself because you were just like everybody. They were happy to see you doing it because at least they are not alone. Now that you claim to be saved and you do something wrong, or you're not influencing the world the way God wants you to influence the world, you bring shame upon yourself. They say, yeah, he thought he was better than us. Look at him now. We are worse off than you were before. So the idea is that disobedience and failure to carry out your God-given principle in this world, which is to be salt, when you fail to do that, you cease to be an influence in this world. You cause great humiliation upon yourself. And the problem with that is that when the believer brings humiliation upon himself or herself, the church also gets humiliated. That is bad. And when the church gets humiliated, Jesus Christ is ridiculed because of you. He is mocked because of you. And then the gospel is hindered. Just imagine, one act of disobedience, it brings so much trouble in the house of the Lord. You humiliate yourself, the whole church is humiliated. The whole church is humiliated, Jesus is ridiculed. He does not save. If Jesus saved, he should have saved Bembe. Bembe is a sinner. Jesus does not save. Now he's humiliated. Now he's ridiculed. The gospel is hindered. We cannot tell people anymore that Jesus saves. When you tell them, ask Baba Mnyakeni, when you tell them, they say, Leo mama, usisontweni lenu, na usindisiwe. Meaning, that the mama who's in your church also saved. No, I would rather not be saved if that woman is saved. I'm telling you, they told him, I was there. When you try to evangelize the world, they make reference with people who are in the church. They said, wow, you call that salvation? I'm better off without this salvation thing. I would rather live like this if I must be like that. That woman is like a demon. It's worse than a demon, actually. That's what happens. The Bible says, when salt loses its taste, how shall it be restored? The idea is, disobedience and failure brings humiliation to the body of Christ. So this portion of scripture, Bazalwane, it suggests that disobedience and carelessness brings great trouble and stress upon, actually a burden upon the house of God. And because of disobedience and carelessness, a Christian can be valueless in society. They would rather ask a sangoma for an advice rather than asking you. That's the world. You become valueless out there. Those who are taken up by the glories and the splendors of this world, those who finally are influenced by the systems and corruption of this world, those who disobey their parents because the world says it is okay, those who carry on and live with boyfriends and girlfriends before they get married because the world says it's okay. I'm talking about Christians. Those who think that way, Jesus says, you are good for nothing. You are good for nothing. That's your verse 13. You are good for nothing. You deserve to be trampled under people's feet because you have lost your respect in this world. You have lost your voice in society. You can't tell me anything. You are just like me. Friends, Christians should not be better than people. That's not what I'm saying. But they should be different than the world. We must not elevate ourselves, but we need to elevate the Lord Jesus Christ by the way we live, the way we speak. So he says, you'll be good for nothing. You can just be trampled under people's feet. The people have a right to mock you anyway, because now you're following the philosophies of this world. When people are saying things from tribalism and cultural thoughts and ideas, you agree with it as if the word of God agrees with it. You don't have a stand. You are good for nothing. That's what Jesus Christ says. You become an embarrassment to society, and consequently a partial chastisement come upon you. What is chastisement? It means punishment. It means judgment. Judgment comes upon you. What is that judgment? You become scorned by this world. They look down on you, regardless of the fact that you claim that you have a home in heaven. Partial chastisement come upon you. God gives you over to people to trample upon you. That's what our text says. He says they lose taste. That's the word there. It says if the salt would lose its saltiness. In the Greek, that word means if you become foolish. I'm telling you, it means that. To lose saltiness. It means if you become foolish, you cease to attract non-believers. And the Lord says to them, if then a believer or a salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? Then immediately he answers that. He says, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and be trampled under people's feet. Salt that loses its saltiness may just as well be thrown under people's feet. It may just be as well be thrown into the street, or just be thrown into the garbage. That is the idea. You can just be thrown into the dumping area because it has become mixed with foreign particles in this world. If you mix salt and sand, I'm telling you, brother, it's something very simple.
you mix salt and sand, you can hardly taste salt there. Take salt and sand, put it together and taste it. You will not taste salt there. That's the idea. Mixed with foreign particles. You are mixed with the thinking and the standards and the practice of this world. You become useless. I know useless in the word sounds like an insult. Not necessarily. It means you cannot be used. You are useless. There's no use for you. The Bible actually says you become foolish. Jesus says then, don't be like the Pharisees and the scribes and their religion, which has lost his saltiness out there. Because they have forsaken the teachings of the prophets. They pursued their own ways. They've made themselves important than God. Church, once things become about me and what I say, once things become about you and what you say, you become foolish. You are good for nothing. You lose your sting in society because it's all about you, no more about God. Let me give you a practical example. The world does not go to church on Sunday. You also don't, but you claim you are a saved Christian. Without any reason, you're just sitting there, minding your own business. The world is sitting there. What? There's no difference. Or else, another practical example, the world comes to church on Sunday, then they remain wicked throughout the whole week. You are just the same like them. You come to church, you go back home, you rain hell upon your children, you rain hell upon your spouse, you rain hell upon everybody. No dramatical change. You are the same. Your life is just like those around you who does not know the difference between Sunday and Saturday. And if that's you, my friend, perhaps your friends and your neighbors have begun to trample upon you. Perhaps your unbelieving family have observed your life and they don't see the reason why they should be Christians. Not the reason why they should follow you to church. You see now how big it is. They don't see a reason why they should be Christians anymore. You are the one carrying out the gossip out there. People don't have to wait for anyone. They wait for you if they want to hear gossip. You are disrespectful to your husband. Unloving and unkind to your wife. Your tongue is like wildfire. Once you speak, what follows after that is division and confusion. Maybe it's you. What must you do? Remember the word I used, it said foolish. You have just become foolish and have no use in this world. Friends, you need to be reminded that Jesus is gracious and merciful. Listen to what he says in his word, James chapter 1 verse 5. If any one of you lacks wisdom, if any one of you has become a fool, let him ask of God, who gives graciously to all without reproach, and he will give to you. Friends, according to the word of God, divine wisdom is the power that counteracts, is the power that fights against wickedness in human life. Wisdom. We need wisdom. We need the knowledge of God. The people are perishing because they lack wisdom. They lack knowledge. God says what? We must pray that the Lord can lavish upon us wisdom. What does wisdom do? It brings you back to the fold of God. It brings you back to loving, reading and studying the word of God. It creates in you a new heart that you are able to communicate the gospel by even not saying a word. You need to pray and ask the Lord to restore you. And God will do that. Why will God do that? He is a gracious God. We serve a gracious God. So my friends, let us be salt. The people out there who does not read a Bible, who does not value God, they read us. They should value God through us. They don't have time to read the Bible. We need to be a walking word of God in this world. Season the earth. Preserve the earth from moral decay and spiritual destruction. Be that greatest influence from within. Stop disgracing the gospel of God by your lukewarmness. You are neither hot, you are neither warm. Stop disgracing the word of God
by your ugliness of life. We don't know where you stand. Stop. May your heart desire to see the world worship Jesus. May your heart desire to see that. If your heart will desire to see the world worship Jesus, you will have a big change in your life, my friend. I'm telling you. It will matter to you how you conduct yourself, how you speak to your children, how you speak to your wife, how you speak to your husband, if you want to see the world change and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Remain white like salt, which is a symbol of purity. Bring taste to your surrounding. Have a gospel impact to your surrounding. Do not be a hindrance. Be a blessing. Be like Jesus, your Savior. Accept your responsibility as salt. Season your community. Season your family. Season your friends before they season you. Before they influence you, take your stand and win men and women to God. Remember, salt will appear small, cheap, and insignificant. But regardless of how this society feels about you, you are not as small and insignificant as they think. You are a powerful force that can change people's future. You are the salt of the earth. You are needed in this world. The world, Mazalwane, needs to come back again to ask advices from the church, not the way around. Now people in the church are asking advices in the world. God created the church that the world will come to ask advices. Why? Because you are the salt of the earth. Influential, significant, not that small. May the good Lord bless you as those waves sink through your hearts. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our King, beautiful Savior, thank you this morning, O Lord, for reminding us of your great truth, that we are the influence of this world, a necessary influence, powerful force, O God, saved by you, changed by you, influenced by you. Help us as a church to stand the ground and show the world that there is a God in heaven who changes the world. I ask all this in the name of your Son. Keep your people throughout the week, oh God, that they may remember your word in Jesus' name. May we all say Amen.
Amen.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. The Church of God say Amen. Bazalwane, inkosi inqine, ngibone evikini lezayo. Where we are saying we are the light of the world.